only for evangelism, and they will say, when you get somebody saved, make sure you don't just get him saved. His house is empty now. You need to make sure you bring him to the church and feel him, make sure he continues to hear the word. That's fine. That's good. It's just a cheap understanding of deep stuff. Just to be honest with you, what the Bible is trying to teach us is that when demons come, they come back to where they used to be, and then they check things out. They examine the house. They see more of you than you see of your own self. The reason why you could tell the house is swept, the reason why you could tell the house is empty, the reason why you could tell the house is garnished, that's somebody who took the time to examine. Before demon will come into anyone, they do some amazing examination. Demons are scared of the blood of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Demons are scared of the power of the Holy Ghost. But you look back over your life, there are some of you under the sound of my voice, only go 4 or 5 minutes more because I got to go home and eat some chicken. So demons are so scared of the devils, they check you out. This. If you got the Holy Ghost, no, we can go in there. That's our limit. But the problem with many of us, you used to be on fire for God, now you're lukewarm. Some of you used to be so fired up for God. Nobody can be.
This is KAYT. Gina Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to Sunday Worship here at Christian Love Baptist Church, where our pastor is Reverend Larry R. Turner. We're located at 3515 Hudson Boulevard, Alexandria, Louisiana. We, the Christian Love family, would love for you to come worship with us. Our Sunday school starts at 9:30 a.m., followed by our worship service at 11. Come experience our midweek worship service on Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. Our doors are always open. It's always worth a visit here at Christian Love Baptist Church.
This message today is a message that is very close to my heart. This message today is a message that I pray that you would receive. The message today is found in the book of John, chapter 21. In John chapter 21, verses 1 through 8, you will find these words that are written. In John 21, verses 1 through 8, when you have it, say amen. In the book of John, chapter 21, verses 1 through 8, you will find these words that are written. Watch this. And the word starts off by saying, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon, Peter, and Thomas, and Dudamus, or Thomas called Dudamus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter said unto them, I'm going to go and go back fishing. They said unto him, well, Peter, since you're going, we're going to go also. They went forth and entered into a ship, and immediately, and that night, they did not catch anything. How many of you know when we go and do things on our own, we won't catch anything? But don't close the Bible there. Because the Bible says in verse 4, but when the morning was come, how many of you know that in the morning you'll see Jesus? Weeping endured for a night. But in the morning, what was now come Jesus stood on the seashore. But the disciples didn't know him. Then Jesus said unto them, children, have you any meat? They answered him, no. He said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you will find. They cast, therefore, and now they were so much until they were not able for the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded up his fishing coat unto him, because he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciple came a little, and the other disciples came in on a little ship, for they were not far from the land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net of fishes. I want to talk to you today. Go back to verse 1. I want to talk to you today about after these things. But there's a subtitle. Touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, after these things, here's the subtitle. Turn the page. You still didn't get it. Well, then touch your other neighbor and say, neighbor, turn the page. The grass will wither, the flower it will fade, but the word of our God will stand forever. You got it, didn't you, Pat? I can see it on your face. Turn the page. Turn the page. Here is something that I'm really not worried about. I find it of course, being the leader, you're always going to be concerned about things and the way things look to the natural eye. But I'm not worried about the church family. I know that everything is going to be all right. Not worried about it. I know that everything is going to be all right. I want to talk to you today about turn the page. In every, how many of you have ever read a book? I'm going to do something just a little unorthodox. A good author in a book always starts the book off in a way that it will capture your attention. A good author never starts a book off by making it so boring until you don't want to read it. They will always, in a good book, it always builds up to a good ending. In our text today, you will find, help me, Lord, that this is a good story, a good event, a good time, the way the writer writes. Because you will find here that in this chapter, prior to this chapter, something has happened. Something has happened that was horrific. Something that happened was not, I mean, it was horrible. What had happened previously before this chapter. In this chapter, you'll find Jesus is what we call post-resurrection. But prior to this chapter, in verse 20, verse 19, you'll find that Jesus was crucified. I'm talking about he was crucified. He was accused. He was ridiculed. He was spit on. I'm talking about chapter 19 and 20. He was whipped. I'm talking about chapter 19 and 20. He was lied on. He was ostracized. I'm talking about chapter 19 and 20. In fact, in chapter 19 and 20, when you go back to all of the previous chapters, he healed the sick, raised the dead, gave the blind sight, and none of them showed up when he was in court to be a character witness. I'm talking about the chapters before this one. The chapters before this one, even his friends left him. Even those who had ate with him, slept with him, had traveled with him, they left him. In the chapters before this chapter, I find that if we had to close the Bible at chapter 19 and 20, this wouldn't have been a good story. Do I have any witnesses in the house? That if we had have been reading from John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. This book started off so good, so fresh, but as you get down into it, they called Jesus a devil. They called him the chief of devils. They called him a liar. They called him a thief. They called him just everything known unto man. As you get down in this book, and if we had have closed this book in chapter 19, or when we got to chapter 20 and had closed it up, this would have been a horrible story. It would have been the worst thing that we've ever seen. In fact, it really wouldn't have been a good book to me, because here is the chief person that the writer is writing about, and they die. This wouldn't have been an interesting story at all. It would have been interesting when he healed the sick, raised the dead, gave the blind sight, fed 5,000 with two fish and five loaves of bread. Oh, it would have been a great book right then. But if you would have just gotten to that part and closed the book up,
this really wouldn't have been a good book. But if you just keep turning the pages, if you keep on turning the pages, something happens. See, if you had a stop at verse, at chapter 19, if you hadn't turned the page, you wouldn't have gotten to chapter 20, that he died. You wouldn't have gotten to chapter 20 where they put him in the grave. You wouldn't have ever gotten to the page. You wouldn't have ever gotten to the chapter where he died and they put him in the grave, because if you would have stayed there in chapter 19 and in the early chapters of chapter 20, then you would have walked off saying, "Lord, I know this ain't the Jesus that I sold out to. This is not the Jesus that I bargained for. This is not the leader that I signed up to follow." If you had have stopped in verse 19, in chapter 19 and in early chapters of chapter 20. But if you just keep on reading, and if you keep on turning the pages, you will find that he died. Are you with me yet? That they put him in the grave. Y'all don't care about, do you want to hear the gospel today? That he died, that they did put him in the grave. But if you turn the page, you will find that that Jesus that you signed up to follow didn't just die. They didn't just put him in the grave, but you will find when you turn the page that he rose. Woo! That ought to be enough to shout about right there. He rose, and not only did he rose or he rise, he rose victorious. With all power of heaven and of that now doesn't it get better as you turn? I wish I had three believers. It gets better as you turn the page. Are you with me yet? See, when you keep turning the pages, you will discover that, woo, this story here gets better, because now he rises with all power of heaven and of earth in his hand. And he says, because I live, you live. See, you would never know that if you didn't. Y'all gonna get it. Y'all gonna be with me after a while. See, you would never get that if you never. Watch this. He dies and he raises from the grave. And when he raises from the grave, he doesn't just straight go back to heaven and stay there. The Lord says, listen, I'm going to give you proof that I live, because I'm going to be here and eating the way I used to eat. Tell me that ain't victory. See, you wouldn't have never known if you would have stayed in chapter 19 and in chapter 20. You would have never known that he defeated death. Are you with me yet? You would have known that it's one thing that they can't follow you to heaven, and that's death. The reason why I want to tell you to turn the page is because, first of all, when you turn the page, touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, turn the page. I mean, really mean it. Really mean it. This is a good message. This is a message that I so desperately needed, because, and I know if I need it, you need it. Because turn the page, it means that there are more chapters to be written in your life. There are more memories to be made. There are more laughs to be had. Preach to me, Reverend Turner. Preach to me, Spirit. There are more babies to raise. There are more things to see, but you have to turn the page. You see, there are more things that God wants us to experience, but if we stay in the chapter that we are in, if you stay in the chapter that you were, if you stay in the chapter of depression and the chapter of disappointment and the chapter of hurt, you will never experience are you with me yet? Touch your neighbor, say, neighbor, turn the page. Paul said in Philippians 3 and 13, he says, forgetting those things which are behind, forgetting chapter 19, forgetting chapter 20. You see, in chapter 19 of your life, in chapter 18 in your life, in chapter 17 of your life, things were terrible at times. Friends were few. You've had some disappointments. In chapter 17, 18, and 19, you've been lied on. You've had to cry sometimes. Sometimes you had to walk away with your head up. Sometimes you had to walk away with your head down. Sometimes you've been hurt. You've been pushed all the way to the ground. That was chapter 17. That was chapter 18. But keep turning the page, because in chapter 19, in chapter 20, things will get better. See, some of us are set on staying in that chapter. And the way that we stay in that chapter, watch this, Archie, the way that we stay in that chapter, we keep rehearsing. We keep repeating. We keep rewinding what happened, things that happened, what someone did. We keep rehearsing that rape. We keep rehearsing. Are you with me yet? We keep rehearsing that person that stole or that disappointment. We keep rehearsing it. We keep repeating it. We keep allowing the devil to rewind it in our minds. And there is how we are staying and how he is imprisoning us and keeping us in that chapter in our lives. We can't turn the page because we keep thinking about it. We keep bringing it up. We become our own co-conspirators to our pain. We keep saying, well, this is what happened. We tell the story to this person. We tell the story to that person. We go and tell the story. We get a disappointment from our cousin or from our sister or from our brother or from a last job that we had. And you know what? We want to tell everybody about it. We want to tell everybody that my supervisor fired me and it was unjust. And we keep telling this story over and over and over again. And sometimes we can be wrong and something happens to us, but we can keep rehearsing it and keep repeating it until we can make it right. You don't have to tell me I'm in the house because I know I'm in the house today. We'll keep doing it. In fact, we can do something wrong in chapter 17, and by chapter 19, if we keep rehearsing it and keep repeating it and keep rewinding it, we can make it right. We can justify it. And I came here to tell you, if God says it's wrong, it's wrong. No matter how many times we repeat it, no matter how many times we rehearse it, no matter how we try to take the pain away, you're going to discover that if it was wrong, it was just wrong. If you were wrong, you were just wrong. There's nothing that can make it right but God. Watch this. In turning the page, one has to know that there are new memories to be made. This is why we flunk out. This is why we leave, because we don't realize that we have to turn the page. Listen, when Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind in Philippians 13, Paul is not saying just to forget them and discard them. He's saying learn from our failures. He's saying take the goods out of it. He's saying to learn from our stumbles, to learn from those things that caused us hurt. To learn from the things that I'm talking about from those acts of disobedience. I know we like to dress it up and call them mistakes. A mistake is something that you accidentally do. This act of disobedience, you thought that one out. Don't fool yourself, my brothers and my sisters. Listen, I didn't get better until I leaned my head back and said, how did I get here? Somebody's not hearing me today. I didn't get any better. I'm talking about Turner. I didn't get any better until I leaned my head back at where I was and said, how did I get here? What series of events that I allow to take place in my life, these acts of disobedience, how did I get at this point in my life? And a lot of times, we never do that because we don't want to get better. We want to stay in that chapter. It's easier for us, for me to blame someone else and say, listen, that person was the one who got me to do it. No, no, no. God does not accept that. We even said, the devil made me do it. Or mama made me do it. Or my sister, the one that I was running with, she made me do it. Or the friend that I run, they made me do it. In the end, I was seeing as I was seeing. And we have to sit back and own up to it. How did I get here? That's your first step of getting better. Somebody said, turn the page. Secondly of all, to turn the page means that the failures of the past, listen at this, to turn the page, the failures of your past has no business speaking to your future. Failures of your past has no business speaking to your destiny. A lot of times we allow our failures of the past to speak to our destiny. Tells us that we can't make it. Tells us that we're not going to be anything. Tells us that what happened last time going to happen again. I wish I had some believers in the house. Y'all know we do. We allow our failures of the past to hurt us so bad until they speak to our destiny. But if I was you, here's what we got to stop. We got to stop our failures of the past speaking to our destiny. Well, you know your daddy. You know your mom. You know you did this last time. I've gotten to the point where I tell my failures of the past, shut up. You don't believe you got the power to do that. Jesus, come here, Jesus. Jesus, in Mark chapter 5, when those demons met him in the town of Gadarene, when those demons, that man that had those demons in him, Jesus said, what's your name? They had to speak. But then there was another time when Jesus told him, shut up. Did you not know that if you are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, that you have the power to silence demons, we'll rather run from them. Every little bit of adversity come, we gone. We break camp. We fold up our little tent and we gone. Then another little piece of adversity, we gone. We run all of our lives. And I wish some people would finally turn around and say, this is it. I'm through running. I'm going to see this thing out. How many things have you completed in your life? How many things have you saw through? But let me ask you this. How many things have you ran from? That's the answer. Too many. How many things, just because it got hard and we didn't want to see the season through, so we ran. So we took off. See, people have a grand misconception of the Christian life. That's why I'm so against all of this prosperity gospel. That's why I'm so against all of this, you can name it, claim it, grab it, blab it. Because it gives us a false sense of faith. It tells us you can get it. You can get this. You can get this. Not everything God wants you to have. There's some...
here at Christian Love Baptist Church.